This morning's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing."
Amen, amen. And this passage that's from the Gospel of Luke that Nada just read for us is one of my favorite. And it was this passage that came to my mind when I was looking for a passage for this Sunday, for our celebration of World Communion Sunday. Yes, this week I explored many passages in prayer and in my reading of scripture, only to come to this gospel reading, which is nicknamed. Do you know what is the nickname of this gospel reading? This is a nickname, Jesus' inaugural address. Yes, at the beginning of his ministry, he opened the roll of Isaiah's. Then he read this. This passage tells us more loudly and more directly than many other passages about who Jesus is and what he is up to. It is an announcement of his mission. It is a description of what he is up to, which is all about the kingdom of God. And it is a declaration of God's presence being here. And all of this and more is summarized by these two words, good news. Indeed, it is good news. Good news? Good news to whom, you may ask? Jesus says that it is good news to the poor, to the captive, to the blind, and to the oppressed. What? Was I compelled to choose this passage because I understood World Communion Sunday to be all about helping such needy people, poor, captive, blind, and oppressed in our world? No, it's more than that. I believe this passage is a right one on this Sunday for all of us, for all those who confess their need of Christ and profess their faith in the Lord. We are the people who admit that we are not there yet to be who we wanted to be, or can be, or should be. We are in need. Consider human nature. As creatures, not as a creator of the universe or our life. Consider human experiences, which don't go always as we wish. See that we are in need. See that we carry pains and fears in our heart, and that we suffer hurt from broken relationships and broken dreams. We experience existential anxiety and void, which is, in fact, the other side of what is also true about us, a deep longing, not just for making sense of a life, but for more free and fulfilling life. Do you feel this fear and pain and longing to see that things get better? All of us, if we look into ourselves honestly, then all of us cannot help but admit that we are not who we wanted to be or created to be. Everyone is imperfect, weak, and ill. one way or another. When we admit there's a human needs, we can find good news in Jesus' words. And we can freely receive the help and assurance that God offers, release, sight, healing, freedom, purpose, and peace. And this is why we can come to the Lord's table with joy and gladness. There is a promise of God's presence at the Lord's table. It is a place where we freely receive and experience the love of God. Here is one story that I love. One Sunday morning at a church, a little girl came forward with her parents to receive Holy Communion. And that's how we too celebrated the Holy Communion before the COVID-19 pandemic. The little girl, however, was disappointed with how small that piece of bread was. Then she began crying and shouted aloud, "I want more! I want more!" Right? And it was definitely embarrassing to her parents, but also amusing to the pastor and the congregation. But think about it. The little girl's cry must be our inner cry. Not because the bread that we take from today, the other side of the pre-filled cup, is too small. No, but because we feel our need of Christ. We don't receive a piece of bread big enough to fill our stomach. No, I know. However, it is big enough to spur our delight in Christ and to do desire more for our life in Christ. I do love Holy Communion. I do. I do love to taste and see God's goodness in this sacrament. And definitely that is the reason why I chose this ordination track, elder, compared to deacon. If I were ordained deacon, I would not be allowed to celebrate, to officiate this Holy Communion. And I want more, more. That's what I say at every communion. Not because I fear to go hungry from the Lord's table, but because here at this table, I experience my deep longing in my soul. It's now being met. There is one phrase that I would like to recite at the Lord's table as a part of my great Thanksgiving prayer. Oh God, let us experience the holy mystery. You abide in us and we abide in you. And this is a communion with God. So I encourage you to feel with your faith in Christ that God comes to you. More correctly, feel that God is already with you. God fills the void and need that you have deep in your heart and soul. We United Methodists practice open table, which means that communion table is open to all. All are welcome, welcome without regard to difference, because we are all the same in this need, the need of God, the same in being recipients of God's love. In the Book of Worship, the invitations reads this: Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. So, this table is open to all without regard to age, gender, ethnicity, intellect, and other things that the world used to label people. But the invitation ask us for some self-examination. The invitation asks us if we desire to be in communion with God, if we admit and give thanks for the truth that God's grace is freely available to all. Again, All are welcome at this open table. And we want it to be a church like the Lord's table, open to all. This is well reflected in this simple motto of our mother church, our denomination, United Methodist Church: open heart, open mind, and open door. These are truly what we wanted to be and strive to be. And we admit that we are not there yet. We continue to desire and endeavor to eliminate barriers and welcome all. But it might be true, there might have been people who have stepped in our building and then have felt a little bit of uncared or ignored. There might be people who have felt unwelcomed by us. Definitely, we wanted to not judge others. We wanted to welcome all, but that is what we always assign to others. It might be true that there are people who have felt rejected because of their mental illness, or politically different views, or poor social skills and status, or their marriage status, or for who they love. I don't mean this to make you feel bad about your church. No, no, no. All of this is to say that we are not perfect. We are in need. In need of more works and programs to help us to be a church like open heart, open mind, and open door. Maybe. Of course, we need such help. However, more than that, let us recognize that we are in need of learning from Jesus and being centered in the teachings of Jesus. This leads us again to the Lord's table. Here at the Holy Communion, we learn from Jesus and confess publicly that we wanted to be like Him. We wanted to live like Him. And I'd like to finish with a story that United Methodist Bishop Will Willimon shared. After he was invited to teach worship at a United Methodist seminary, he visited a renowned Catholic liturgical scholar. "I've got to teach liturgics to Methodists. What should I do to excite future pastors about their sacramental leadership?" To his question, the Catholic teacher replied, "I would teach cooking classes." "What?" "Until they experience the joy of setting a good table, they will never know what Jesus was doing in the upper room. And I would also teach bartending." "You know what? Bartender." "But we are Methodist," Bishop Willimon countered. "Oh, pity," the Catholic liturgical leader replied. "I think," he continued, "until they learn to mix a good drink, they are not going to get vast portions of the Gospel of John." Okay, here, for your information, he was referring to the fact that the Gospel of John reports both the wedding at Cana, where Jesus turned water into wine, and also the Last Supper at the upper room. Then the Catholic scholar continued to say to the Methodist teacher, "What happens to people when they get a bit tipsy?" "Depends on the people," Bishop Willimon replied. "Right," the Catholic scholar exclaimed. "Some people get aggressive and wanted to fight everybody in the bar. Others get mellow and wanted to put their arms around everybody and sing and dance. Still others get sentimental and tell stories that have been in their heart. What else do you want it to happen on a Sunday?" At the end of his writing of this conversation, Bishop Willimon wrote this, I quote, "His instruction led me to a Eucharistic principle. How you do communion makes all the difference. The food at a fast food joint or a fancy French restaurant may be equally nutritious, but the experience is totally different. One makes you feel like a cow moving through a feed trough. Other makes you feel like an honored human being. It's all in how you do it." And I'd like to add to say, it's all in how you partake of it. It is true to both you and me, communion partakers and communion officiant, we do it as we believe it. We do it as we expect something to happen. God comes to us to abide in us, to take care of our deep needs and longing, personal and communal. God comes to us to break down barriers and to connect us to one another. Thus, come, lift up the cup that you are given. God's grace is available to all. God's grace is powerful enough to change our lives. Come to receive God's grace and to share in God's bounty. So let's do it today. Today, our communion prayer will be spoken in both languages, in English and in my mother language, Korean. As you can see, those letters in the bulletin. But here is the cue for you to join me when I lift up the phrase about what we give thanks, and you will catch up to sing the refrain of the hymn 162, as you can find the lyrics in the bulletin. So as you hold this pre-filled communion cup, let's first, okay, I know it is well sealed, in that you cannot taste, you cannot feel the smell, but what we can do is a shake, pretending, right? So let's that way prepare our own selves. The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. "열방의 하나님, 당신께서는 당신의 형상대로 다양한 색깔의 피부와 머리카락과 눈, 그리고 다양한 키와 체구에 또 각기 다른 재능과 은사를 가진 인간을 만드셨습니다. 당신 보시기에 우리 모두는 아름답습니다. We give you thanks for calling us to be your children. And now we will sing it. Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, give praise to his name. 예수 그리스도를 보내사 우리 가운데 살게 하심에 감사드립니다. 그가 이 땅에 계실 때 예수는 동쪽과 서쪽에서 온 모든 사람들, 곧 가난한 자와 부유한 자, 아이들과 여자, 남자, 또 아픈 이들과 소외된 이들 모두에게 다가가셨습니다. 그는 우리 모두에게 똑같이 알아 가르치셨습니다. 그리고 그분은 우리에게 그를 기억하라고 이 음식을 주셨습니다. 빵 한 덩어리를 떼어 들어 감사기도를 들으시고 그것을 떼어주시며 말씀하셨습니다. 받아 먹으라. 이것은 너희를 위한 내 몸이니 이를 행할 때마다 나를 기념하라. 같은 방법으로 식후에 그분은 잔을 들어 말씀하셨습니다. 이 잔을 마셔라. 이것은 나의 피로 세운 새로운 언약이니 이것을 행할 때마다 나를 기억하라. We give thanks for Jesus Christ and for this meal. 할렐루야, 할렐루야, give thanks to the risen Lord. 할렐루야, 할렐루야, give praise to his name. 오늘 전 세계에서 기념하는 성찬의 식탁에 당신의 성령을 내리소서. 각 사람에게 복을 내리시고 우리의 참여에 복을 내리시옵소서. 그래서 우리가 당신의 몸 안으로 자라나 당신의 사랑 안에서 연합하여 당신의 화해의 평화를 온 땅에 전하게 하옵소서. For these hopes and for all your promises given and kept, we give you thanks, Holy Trinity, now and forever. 알렐루야, 알렐루야, give thanks to the risen Lord. 알렐루야, 알렐루야, give praise to his name. Now with the confidence of being a children of God, let us say the Lord's Prayer together.